All right, so yeah, before we get started, I just want to let you know while we're recording that I'm proud to do this podcast. I'm proud to do this podcast as an African American. And I'm proud that my wife is white. And she can listen to this podcast, you
Hey
know?
man, listen. Nigga, I'm hot, bro, cuz I advocated very strongly.
The very first press conference?
Oh man, nigga could at least waited till next week. Nigga, my president is black and my wife is white, according to UNC head coach Hubert Davis. This ain't a, this we not off to a good start. I'm gonna keep it a whole band with you, bro.
Man,
Nigga,
I was like, yo.
listen, I'm about a week away from calling for his head and getting Rashad McCants in that bitch.
Who knows what Rashad's gonna say? Rashad's a Kardashian adjacent, so he might say the same damn thing.
You
Y'all
are
should have done. Y'all should have
right.
done
He
what y'all should.
was. I think he
Yeah.
that was Chloe's first like professional athlete boyfriend. I remember that.
I believe so. Yeah. I don't know how I pulled that out. That's like the one thing I remember about Rashad McCants. He used to kill Duke. He helped Gerald Green with that cupcake dunk, and he used to smash OJ's daughter on the regular.
And that's about all he did. But you know what? He is a Carolina Blue legend, and I appreciate that nigga for all his contributions. Hubert Davis, nigga, you on a hot seat already, bruh.
Yeah,
Matt Doherty got off to a better start.
y'all got to make the at least the Sweet 16 this upcoming year.
That shit's bad. But you know, on a slightly brighter note, welcome to episode Come Back Like Jordan Wearing the 4-5. It's not to play games with you, it's to aim at you, probably maim you.
Probably maim you.
So if I owe you, I'm blowing you to smithereens. Episode 45 of Beware the Ellies. This is our third podcast in 3.5 weeks.
Something like that. At least it'll be definitely the third in a month span, which is by far the most output you've gotten from us at any point in the history of this audio recording.
Which is definitely telling you that, like, our lives clearly aren't going the way that we anticipated. Because, nigga, if I had the amount of money that I plan on having right now, there's no way that I'd be sitting here talking to y'all niggas at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night. So, in order to change that, y'all got to listen to us. So, that means follow us at Uptown Ace Boogie, at Ain't That Wiz, at The Show Pod, at Beware the L's. Go ahead, like, rate, share, subscribe, tell a friend, because clearly we're doing something wrong.
Right, yes. I literally have a year and a half to make my Calabasas plan
happen.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
That Are we shit, here that already?
That shit has crept up on us super fast.
Oh, man.
I remember saying that. Damn near 5, 6 years ago, Calabasas by 2022.
Damn.
And
Didn't
I
you
am,
push it back, though?
Huh?
Didn't you push it back to 2024?
I may have. I got to check the tweets. Damn. But yeah, I thought about that the day. I was like, yo, it's 2021. I was like, something's supposed to be happening in 2022. I was like, God damn it. I'm supposed to be on the whole other coast by now. I'm supposed to be, me and Drake supposed to be riding around, take a right and cut the lights on these niggas.
Oh, man. Time, my nigga, is flying. I mean, I feel like every time we get on this pod, we talk about like another time hop from 7, 8, 9, 13 years ago. And honestly, it's depressing. Like, somebody told me like earlier today, you know, that like, oh, Austin, you're so wise. Like, you have such an old soul. And that's something I've heard a lot throughout my life, which, you know, wisdom's a good thing. But now I feel like I'm at the point where my years have caught up to my wisdom and I'm no longer wise beyond my years. And now I'm just old. So
just regular as hell. No longer witty and quirky. You just a nigga.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, it happens. Just you're not alone. We all become just niggas at a point.
Oh, man. You know what?
Over the hill.
And I don't want to embrace just my pure niggadom, but at the same time, man, like, this is what I was raised to be. This is what my pappy and my grandpappy knew that I was going to turn into. So, honestly, bruh, you know what? I'm going to just roll with this shit. Also, I am Smith, as this has become the Controlled Substance Pod.
Speak for yourself. I'm a little turned up on the prayers and blessings of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. he's powering my high. And a few sips of some Crown Black, which
the Crown Black. How do you feel about the Crown Black?
Not a fan. Well, I don't know if it's because I didn't really want to drink and turn up tonight to get ready for this, but
I forced it on him.
Yeah. Thanks to Sean.
Complete lack of consent there. We're off to a bad start.
it's not my favorite Crown, but it can get drunk in a pinch. You feel me?
Crown Black is like that next evolution of Crown that you feel like you ready for, but you really not. Like, niggas be drinking apple and vanilla and shit, be like, oh shit, I might as well drink some of that black. Crown Black is rough. Crown Black is closer to cracking than it is Crown regular.
No, that's a fact. And I've had Hennessy Black, and I enjoy Hennessy Black.
Smooth.
But the Crown Black, and I thought it would be kind of like similar to the Hennessy Black, but it's not. Reverse shout out to Canada for sending that down.
This reminds us that we still have not had our alcohol pod amongst many other theme pods that we still have sitting in the vault, locked away in the Disney vault along with the anti-Semitism. So,
I didn't hear the Disney part. I was like, we got an anti-Semitism pod? So I must have been faded for that one.
Oh, man. Said welcome to episode 4 or 5 of Beware the Ills. First and foremost, before we get into anything else, because we got a couple of things to get into amongst the pop culture. What's up with your boy Cassidy, dog?
Hey man, as the battle rap analyst portion of the podcast, you guys may have known that Cassidy is jumped into battle rap. From doing nothing,
unfortunately,
these past 5-10 years,
10 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not gonna act like I can't. I was gonna fake and act like I knew a song. So Cassidy's been taking a few battles these last couple of years. And this past weekend, he had a battle against my personal favorite battle rapper of all time, Hitman Holla.
Hitman
from Wildin' Out fame. The internets, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but the internets are wilding and saying Cass beat Hitman, which he clearly did not.
That's ridiculous.
It's very clearly a Hitman battle, but there were a lot of Cassidy fans in the building and a lot of Cassidy fans on the internet, which is fucking news to me, because you niggas weren't listening to 6 Minutes to Death.
Great song. I was. Great record.
Tremendous record. But so Cassidy's he's back in battling, and eventually he's going to work his way up to... I don't know, Mitch McConnell or somebody. I don't know who the end game boss in battle rap is.
Greta Thunberg, obviously, clearly.
Oh boy, I don't know if she's ready for that. she's coming off a debatable with Trump. I don't know.
Cassidy had a very specific line. Like I said, I didn't watch the battle in its entirety, but he had one line about, was it chop your brother in half? Now he's your half brother.
Oh boy, I'm gonna hit your brother. He said the chopper. I'm gonna hit the chopper of your brother. Split him in half. Now he's your half brother. Second round, terrible. It was sick. Like that's literally the bar I was gonna tweet it out and say get the fuck out of here, get your man the fuck out of here. But I like Cass as a guy.
Man.
I am biased in the battle rap, but that's what my weekend entailed for the most part.
Barry Adrian Reese, my nigga, there's a time and place for everything. And that freeway battle was 17 years ago. I'm gonna just leave that there.
Good God.
But, my weekend consisted of, I got my first vax shot. Unfortunately, as I stated in the group chat, unfortunately did not grow a second penis.
The second shot. We'll see what happens with the second shot. Don't lose hope yet.
But as we've been preaching on the last 3, 4, 5 pods, nothing major, no major side effects. Other than I got sleepy, had to take a nice long nap. But other than that, everything else was cool, man. We gonna keep saying it. Go get your fucking vax, especially if you're trying to kick it this summer. Especially if you're trying to be thotting it up. you know, all over the country, or just an exo like me.
You gotta get your boy to open. I keep forgetting y'all niggas' name. DeWine, open exo. Stop playing.
he lifted the capacity on all clubs and bars, I think, yesterday. So it's time. Corey, the other Adrian, not Barry Adrian Reese, Adrian Largent.
Cass can come too. Fuck it, why not? We're inclusive.
It's time, nigga. We have not been at EXO since August of 2019.
Last time we was at EXO.
Actually, we didn't even go to EXO the last time. So we actually haven't been since November of 2018.
God damn. Brittany Renner wasn't even a mom then.
Is she a mom?
She's pregnant. Ooh, I don't think she had a
with
baby
yet. She got a hooper, PJ Washington?
E.J. Washington.
That nigga.
Yeah, she was at his college games when he was like 19 years old. We ain't gonna talk about that. Ooh. Damn it.
Reverse grooming? Sound like reverse grooming to me.
Yeah, she's the female, or excuse me, the woman, Jerry Seinfeld. No, I'm playing.
And what's the deal with hall monitors? Yeah, damn, reverse grooming. That's some wild shit. Speaking of reverse grooming, certified lover boy is still on the way.
I don't understand how you connected the dots between reverse grooming and certified lover boy. We are going to beat the shit out of you. And now Adonis is showing some.
Hey, listen, Adonis abilities. Looking pretty tall, bro.
Man, I can't wait. I'm gonna have you in the walls of Jericho, and Adonis is gonna come off the top rope with a frog splash. And you're fucking out of here.
I mean, Drake's pretty tall, and so is Sophie, his fluke baby mama. She's also pretty tall. So Adonis definitely hitting 6 feet. That's for sure.
Oh, for sure. And you see the jumper is coming along.
Yeah, that bitch pretty wet. Good. That bitch wet, bro. So shout out to Adonis. Nobody should be held responsible for the sins of their father. You know, so.
I think you mean outstanding grandiose accomplishments is what I think what you meant to say, but correct. You're right. He needs to be his own child and own man.
We had already about 15 minutes into this pod have not talked about anything that we planned on talking about. So let's dive into this bitch. So my very old iPhone just decided to restart by itself. Let's get into it. We already talked about the weekends. Shout out to the weekend just cause. That will be the first fucking concert that I'm back at later this year. Matter of fact,
drop dates. No, I can't. That can't be the first one I'm going. I need to go surprise like some Pooh Shiesty or somebody like that just to get me. Because I have a bunch of pent up energy, I just need to let out somewhere. You know what I mean,
nigga? You know you too old for a Pooh Shiesty concert.
Says who? I can't wait to see young boy. me and all the 13-year-old PS4 playing niggas. Don't we link the fuck up screaming beam effect? Hell yeah.
But this weekend, the highlight of most people's weekend, you know, other than obvious the Easter Sunday, the resurrection of, you know, our Lord and Savior, you feel me? What the hell? Oh, this my phone tripping. Time to take a portion of that STEMI and upgrade to the iPhone 16.
I don't know why. Sounds like being a broke boy. Should have been spent that STEMI. You know what I'm saying? I got the iPhone XXR, you know what I'm saying? The Steve Jobs edition.
Congratulations, nigga. You live in Delaware. I assume there's not much else to do but buy new iPhones.
You're not wrong.
But the highlight of most people's weekends, other than, you know, the Easter Sunday and spending time with their families and shit, was one of, if not the most legendary verses that we have seen. And it seems like every time we talk about a verses, it always, you know, they take it up another notch, like my nigga Emerald. Boom! But the Isley Brothers versus Earth, Wind, and Fire. And this was one that snuck up on me. Like I didn't really know until about an hour ahead of time that it was actually happening that day. But man, I'm so glad that I did, because that shit cleansed my fucking soul, bro.
You said verses. I think you meant to say the Steve Harvey stand-up special featuring Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Isley Brothers. That's what it fucking was. But no, this was one of the ones a couple couple weeks ago. Versus put out their kind of a little teaser list of future battles, and that was the first one they had kind of announced, which I thought was pretty dope. The Elements versus the Isleys on Easter.
That's a big one.
Something like you're gonna be with your family who ideally brought you up listening to some of these tunes. Is something for everybody. This is probably one of the first, not one of the first, but it's kind of one of the ones of the verses that can kind of, it's for everybody, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, not just for...
I mean, we also had, you know, like Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight and, you know, a couple other ones, but again, that's still mostly for the older audience. You know, this one was one, and even if it's just because of the samples, everybody has some type of experience with the Isley Brothers and or Earth, Wind, and Fire, especially Steve Harvey. Let's check in for a live listen from Mr. Kent State.
Yeah, yeah.
What your ass say? I mean, your ass. I mean, she was like, she said.
So that was Steve Harvey for about 4 hours on Sunday. That nigga told every story that he had in his repertoire. When I heard that nigga mention Eastway, I'm like, this nigga going deep in the bag.
Yeah, man, was all about nostalgia for one of the groups play a song and they would say, hey, that reminds me of the time when I walked uphill both ways to Shanika Johnson's house. And I sung her the third verse in the bridge of September. And she said, you can't have no Steve. But I said, it's okay, baby. I just wanted to sing Verdeen White.
I mean, Steve was, without a doubt, Steve was the only person that could host that and do it justice. Would that versus would have been over by 9 o'clock if Steve wasn't telling all his stories? Sure. But also, I think that kind of, even as annoying as it was, I think it added to everything as a whole. Because when it comes down to EWF and the Isley Brothers, you are talking about not just nostalgia, not just memories, not just family, but you are talking about history. Like in a way that I feel like our versus battles of our eras haven't had enough time to simmer yet. Like we know who the fuck T-Pain is. You know what I'm saying? Like we know even who Neo is, you know, we know who Jeezy, Gucci, you know, XYZ, who all these people are. They are legends. They are our legends. But at the same time, you talking about, you know, 15 to 20 years of history versus 60 years of history. You talking about the Isley Brothers who, bro, I didn't know they made fucking Twist and Shout first before the Beatles. Yeah. Hashtag fuck the Beatles.
They literally played, they had hits from the decades, like the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. They literally have a lifetime's worth of hits, which is insane when you think of longevity. Like you mentioned, artists that we kind of grew up on, they're just in their early years. And even if they like artists like we love, like Jay-Z, who's only been doing this for 3 decades.
Yeah.
Yep. And Isley's have hits from twice as long as that. That's right. Insane.
And I mean, Isley Brothers are the most sampled group in the history of music. Little fun fact. Everybody, white people, black people, everybody has some type of Isley Brothers sample. And as you listened, you know, to that verses, there were people, you know, who are half our age. God, we old. there are people who have half our ages who have heard, you know, those little riffs, you know, throughout their lives and had no idea who they were listening to. I really like this matchup in particular because, I mean, don't get twisted. Isley Brothers have... They literally said it. They lost track of how many platinum singles they got. But they were considered, I think, more as the soul group, while Earth, Wind, and Fire was a little bit more, not to say they didn't have soul, but they had a little bit more of a pop element to them. So, like, just having that, like, dichotomy between the two was amazing to hear. And more than anything, man, to still have those legends with us, you feel me? Obviously, yeah. R.I.P., Maurice White, the one and only. But to still have those legends with us in their 80s, still singing, still sounding good, still playing those instruments, and still sounding just as good as they did in 1960, 70, 80, and 2001 for Mr. Biggs is incredible.
Yeah, that's a testament to kind of how making good quality music can last the test of time. It's, I think, is really encouraging for kind of our artists of today to look forward to as a model to say, hey, make good music, do your thing right, get off the goddamn lean and the Percocets, and you could be here, we could be doing verses in 2050, 2060,
man,
playing
that,
some
that little baby and money bag yo verses in 2060 is gonna be something special.
Oh man, I can't wait.
But
I can't wait.
It was just a good time. I called it therapeutic and soul cleansing, because that's exactly what it was. You know, we all have our, you know, our struggles. We all have, you know, kind of our issues that we deal with on a regular basis, just life stuff. And that was a moment for, you know, that 2-4 hours, however long you listen. That was a moment where you just enjoyed. And I think the wildest thing that I saw during that battle was people keeping score. Like, keeping score with this?
Yeah, this was a celebration, as we like to say, mm-hmm. when we're not trying to tally this. These are two groups that are solidified, that are legends, and there's no need for fucking keeping score. Everything's a fucking hit. Everything's a goddamn tie.
Yeah, facts.
One thing I do want to say is that my least favorite part of verses is comedians using the comments to get some whack ass jokes off.
Happens
every verses,
every single one,
as long with our favorite brands hopping in there, and America's favorite young singer Kedron Bryant showing up.
Oh, was he in there again? I was just reading.
Of course he was.
I was reading Tyrese's comments.
He's a young black man. Of course he'd be in there. But nah, this was dope. Long as hell. But it was worth every fucking minute. I watched Lily up until it ended like close to like 12:15, and I was still rocking with him, man. It was beautiful.
Oh yeah. But that's also a versus and Triller. All right, Triller. Y'all niggas on thin ice already after your first versus. That's on them for thinking that they could actually get in there and be like, okay, we gonna play a minute and a half out of an Isley Brothers or an EWF song. Like, that's acceptable. These niggas got 8-9 minute songs regularly. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where I don't think they planned on performing all like that, but they knew that, hey, if we start performing, these niggas can't cut us off. So.
And even so, these were songs that like had to get performed. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are songs that you can't help but to stand up and sing. And I'm glad kind of after the first few that they kind of ran for like a short period of time, they started letting them go for 2-3 minutes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In the second half when they told Steve, shut the fuck up.
Yes.
And he and they kind of just got to go back to back. That was a well-needed adjustment. Very Nick Nurse-like.
Most importantly, though, something that I honestly did not know what to expect. I'm so glad we got Mr. Biggs, bruh. I really didn't think we would get too much, you know, old Ronald Isley, you know, R. Kelly collaboration shit. And they didn't play R. Kelly parts, but we got what mattered.
you can't play Kells at this juncture in time. But nah, it was great. It was great to see him. I thought they would kind of stay away from it, but we still got to see what the hell was going on within the sheets up in his home.
Mr. Biggs, before you wait, how you know my name, son? Yeah, man.
Man, Mr. Biggs was an era, man. I wish that bad man wasn't a bad man, because we could still enjoy the full aspect of Mr. Biggs.
Unfortunately. Now, the only thing that I didn't get, because they gave us as much as they could, which I really did appreciate, because they, you know, literally got dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hit records, but didn't get no songs from the Steve Harvey Show. No When the Funk Hits the Fan. No Break Me Off a Piece of That Funk. Come on now. That was easy. That was too easy.
You're right. That's the one miss. It was a 99 out of 100 with the 1%. No Steve Harvey songs.
But Yeah, you know, so as we talk about Verzuz and, you know, kind of making that transition to Triller, because Swizz and Tim sold out, fuck the culture, you feel me? What is a battle that you would like to see that makes sense? Don't just throw out just whatever. What's a reasonable battle that you would like to see in the near future?
I would have to think about that. I don't know if I got anything. I don't know if I really have anybody lined up. I know I think the next one, I believe, is a 420 matchup of Meth and Redman.
Yes. Followed by SWV and Escape, which I don't think that's the best idea. Like, if everything's good, you feel me? Like, SWV is, like, different. You feel me? Like, they really hit different. And, and Escape was dope. They had a great run, but, like, Escape matches up better with, let's say, a Total more than they do an SWV. I think it's going to be one of the biggest blowouts that we've probably seen in Verzuz yet.
Yeah, that's because Escape has got a nice little handful of hits. SWV's got two and a half handfuls. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think this is where we're getting to the point of Verzuz where we kind of need to double some shit up and kind of put shit together. Like, SWV, Escape, and Method Man Redman could not necessarily, it's not the same vibe.
Yeah. And undercard in the main event.
Yeah, something like that. Or if we can just run two kind of mid tier.
I'm with you there, bro.
Not mid tier artists, but you know what I'm talking about.
Man, give me, I keep telling y'all niggas, give Young Jock 15. I'm not playing. I am not playing.
I told you, no one's calling the boogeyman's name. You know who I got is the boogeyman of all this shit. Nobody wants that smoke with DeAndre.
With Big Soldier, man. Listen. It's,
matter of fact, yeah, let me get DeAndre versus anybody else who put out music between 2005 and 2013.
Ah, Duro Music, obviously.
He's smoking my. I love Duro. The Get Big Remix is one of my favorite remixes in the history of music. But no, get Soldier Verse, get Duro, bring Duro, bring VIC, bring my nigga Houston, if he still has all his faculties together. who else can we bring?
I don't know. It ain't too many people that's fucking with Big Gucci Soldier, to be completely honest. I mean, that Bow Wow Soulja Boy one is one that I think obviously makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. I think you could get Bow Wow in there. Can you get Soulja Boy in there? I don't know. We'll see.
Soulja's gonna be too busy F5 and somebody.
Oh yeah. I'm telling you, when Soulja Boy joins the NWO,
what are you gonna do, brother? when the Soldier is running wild on you.
Oh God! But what do I want to see? I think one that people have been talking about for a long time, and it doesn't exactly match up in terms of number of songs, but I think the eras are very similar, and the iconicness is very similar. It's the Mary J. and Mariah Carey. Honestly, I think Mariah Carey would damn near wash Mary J, but it would still be entertaining.
I love the Emancipation Meme more than 85% of the country, but Mary ain't no hoe, man.
No, of course not, bro. I think Mariah Carey's got too many. I think that's it. She's got too many.
And I think, like, that's like you said, it's not necessarily the best matchup. Mm-hmm. Kind of just because they're just completely like two different lanes.
Yeah.
They just kind of have happened to share somewhat of a similar time frame. Yep. But I don't know.
And I mean, on the rap side, you know,
it's hard. It's going to be hard to get like the legends to kind of come down from Mount Olympus to make it happen.
Because that's the point that we get into. It's like, we didn't got like a lot of the like lower tier legends out of the way. And now it's like, okay, if you can't get Dr. Dre to show up, then you get what I'm saying? Like, Mm-hmm. Yeah, we only got so many options. I still see, even with his extreme whackness, I still see people asking for 50 in game, which I, again, still don't think is really a matchup.
That's not fair. Well, I don't know. And does have the joint with Keisha Cole that rings off.
I'm paying homage. You pay the way for me. Yeah.
That might be a better matchup than I thought it would. Because 50 really has a ton of hits
in a short time span.
5 year span, yeah. 5 to 7 year span. And game does have a longer longevity of hits.
I mean, even though game had like. Even though I feel like Game had a longer run of relevance, he stopped really having hits after a certain time. Like, I mean, after, I don't know, LAX, Game didn't have he didn't have a ton more hits after that.
You were in goddamn Kent Lanes when I Remember was out.
I remember, yeah.
We're just talking about Jesus Peace.
Ali Boumaye. Listen, Game got plenty, but 50, I've said it on this pod millions of times, 50 had the hottest run of anybody in the history of hip-hop music from 2003 to 2006. So,
what?
I don't know, bro.
You fail to remember. Hmm. 50 doesn't have anything in his catalog close to the One Blood remix.
I mean, how many niggas is Game gonna bring with him? You know, Jim Jones.
Just Junior Reed. Just Junior Reed is all he needs. And Junior Reed is gonna do all of Air Bounces versus him stuff.
So I mean, there's still matchups out there that I think people who they could reasonably still get to do it. Future hasn't done one yet. You know, that's obviously, yeah. One that we waiting on. Now, nobody can match up to Future, you know, but I would still like to see him in there, right. If for no other reason to see what he chooses. If like, how the hell do you, if your Future pick 20 songs?
Yeah, that would be the part that would be the most interesting of him just going up against anybody. Because I got, like, Future is probably one of my, he's probably like my second or third favorite rapper of all time.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to give you a consistent, like, if you ask me my top 10 Future songs, it's going to change damn near day to day. Like, you ask me Hov's my favorite rapper, you ask me my top 10 Hov songs, I could probably give you like 15 or 20 that are kind of steadily in rotation.
Yeah.
For Future, I'm damn near at like 30, 35 songs. Like, you know what? On a certain day, if I hear this is top 10 for me. If on a certain day I hear this other one, oh, that's pushing that out of there. It's top 10. So for him to choose, for him to sit down, period, off the Perkies and whatnot, to him and Esco get together.
Ooh, boy.
That might be some interesting shit.
Ooh, boy. I've been popping since my demo, bitch.
I'm also mad we kind of wasted, but the Ross Chains matchup. It wasn't a waste, but I feel like Ross, we could have saved Ross for.
I think so.
Somebody else.
I think so. Now, in fairness, though, bruh, Chains had Ross down for a minute.
It was you got your hopes up, you know what I'm saying? It was a movie, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we had the scrappy underdog had a chance and was running shit until Ross kind of picked up the pace. But I felt like Chains could have matched up somebody with who was more closer to his peak era. Yeah.
When was Rick Ross hotter than, you know, 2012?
You said, was he hotter than 2012 Chains?
That was Chains' hottest run, and that was also near Ross's peak, too.
I don't know, man, because Ross...
2010 to 2013 was Rick Ross's peak.
I guess maybe hits and music, I guess relevancy-wise. Mm. Maybe. You might be okay. Right, but still, Ross got, you know what I'm saying, like, because, like, Chains popped, whatever year Duffel Babe was, 07 or whatever that 07, shit came out, yeah. Was cool. Ross was before that, and then kind of consistently building and relevant until...
Well, that's the thing. I think Ross has built a better... I just think he's built a better career. I mean, Chains has had periods where, I mean, 2 Chainz has never gone away, and I'm going to give that nigga a lot of credit for that. 2 Chainz is probably one of my favorite, like, inconsistent rappers of all time. But, like, Chainz will go through periods just like he had, you know, a couple years ago. Chainz was not gone, but, like, his relevancy was not very high until, you know, he kind of came back with, like, Big Amount and shit. And like the whole Pretty Girls Love Trap Music era. And after not really hearing a lot of hit-wise out of 2 Chainz for the preceding 4 or 5 years, no, not five, maybe 4 years, he came back and he's once again one of the hottest niggas in the game for like two. And now since 2019, he's just been 2 Chainz again. You feel me?
See, I feel like, I just thought this, I don't know why I just thought this, but like I feel like a Chainz matchup would have been better for, say, a solo Juicy J.
Now, solo Juicy J. Does that include 3-6 Mafia shit?
I would say any. I would say he can have. No, Stay Fly was a little bit older.
Yeah, like 05.
Yeah, I would say kind of anything past after Stay Fly.
Okay. I think that's a great matchup. Now, I think that Juicy J, and I was just talking about this shit again. I feel like this comes up for me like once every month about Juicy J's fucking reinvention from like Memphis OG to College Girls Love Adderall, or College Girls Love Alcohol and Popping Adderall. Like, that nigga's rebrand is still fucking elite. But also, at the same time, I mean, they had the same peak, you know, let's not forget. I'm a DJ.
Right.
I was there. You feel me?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you would know more so than anybody else.
Their peak, man, in 2012, 2013, 2014, you went into a party, and more than likely, outside of fucking Chief Keef and Drake and Travis Porter and K Stylus, like, it was 2 Chainz and Juicy J. You're getting 5 or 6 or 7 songs even in a party between those two each. So I get it. I actually think that's a good one. I think that's a really good one. But once again, it's kind of too late to go back now. I was hearing something about Ross potentially coming back again.
That's what prompted me saying that, because I remember seeing something like, oh, Ross might be down to come back for it again.
Okay.
But like you said, French would have been a good matchup too for Chainz.
Would have been a great one. But either way, man, Versus still has quite a bit of juice left. I just feel like it is on Triller and whomever else is in charge of it too. They gotta get a little bit more creative now. We can't just, you know, pick two random legends out of a hat, you know, from the same era and just do it. Like, we're going to have to start getting creative, maybe start seeing some different gimmicks. Like you said, make it more of like a boxing thing with an undercard in the main event. Cause, you know, I could, especially with, you know, things opening back up and niggas hopefully getting vaccinated, this could be a concept that, you know, by later this year, you know, if y'all not coming with the heat, people may not be fucking with it all like that no more. So, yeah, like, niggas got to stay on it. But, you know, regardless, it was a celebration, you know, when the elders, the OGs, the Elements, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and the Ozzy brothers came through. So they had a great weekend, and because of them, we had a great weekend. One nigga who did not have a good weekend was your favorite basketball player of all time, Paul Pierce.
First and foremost, we've done this podcast for over 3 years, and if you disrespect like that again, I will burn your house down. there has been documented on Twitter, in conversations, there is no athlete that I dislike more than the nigga who somehow has the nickname The Truth while being the falsest false of all time.
He is pretty false.
Paul Pierce. He's very fucking false. Cierto. No, it's true. Falso. Muy falso.
I'm about to say Cierto is true.
A fuck nigga on the court. Fuck nigga. This nigga, like, I'm just gonna, before you get into what he did, he's the only nigga that I know of the only athlete, star athlete, to get stabbed with the intention to have been murdered.
In his own city?
In his own city.
Woo! I mean, nigga. It's not funny, but it's very true.
We have talked about this on the pod. I've given an example. I gave like a counter example. Like, that's like, yo. I think this was after his second year. Mm-hmm. So that's like, yo. I hate this nigga, Zion Williamson, so fucking much that I'm going to catch him
nigga outside of Papa Do's.
I'm going to catch him at the beignet spot, and I'm going to stab him
repeatedly,
double digit times.
That does truly speak to the level of fuck nigga that Paul Pierce is. And, you know, honestly, I had a strong dislike for Paul Pierce as a player later on. But I also, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I was a fan of early Paul Pierce.
That's disgusting.
I mean, and I'm not the only one, bro. And I'm talking like
you might have been, honestly.
And I'm not talking about, and I'm only talking about like late 90s, like, you know, rookie year, second year, you know, all that with Antoine Walker and Kenny Anderson and all them niggas. I like them Celtics teams. I really did. And when I first got into basketball, for real, that was a team. Not that I like rooted for, but that was a team where I looked at all the players and I was like, okay, y'all niggas can hoop. So
you was like, yeah, Paul and Eric Montross, them, they them boys.
But like, so for me, man, it like that hatred for him developed later in his career. I would say probably around the time that LeBron came in, because there's no bigger hater of LeBron James than Paul Pierce. And I am someone who has had, you know, my ups and downs with LeBron. There's times where he's been my idol and my savior, and times where I've hated him more than anybody else in the world. But he's ours. He's mine and he's yours. And yes, Jules is. So,
Maverick. I hope that Maverick just remember all my times mentioning that, and just remember this last time he said it.
How hot is you gonna be when Mav and LeBron discover this pod, and then you know, we about to sign a deal, and then they hear all your Yes Jules references, and then we're cut?
Well, I'm gonna tell them that I've been getting money on the table from Skip Bayless Enterprises this entire time to slander his legacy.
But you know, so I mean, that hatred for Paul Pierce developed, you know, more and more over the course of his career, especially after them niggas won a championship. That nigga was insufferable. So you take that and the They Don't Love You Like That tour, and the very last nigga, the last person on earth that I, former player that I wanted to hear as an analyst, was him. Like, literally, there was no other person that I would take below him as an announcer. And
honestly, there's no player like I as a Laker fan, I've always disliked Celtics from the jump, and then just him being the fuck nigga that he was, I've disliked him too. So I couldn't think of any other player who I'd like to hear from less
and
than Paul.
Over the past 4 years that he's been with ESPN, I mean, asinine comment after asinine comment after asinine comment. He has said that he has thought that he was better than LeBron. He has said for sure that he was better than D-Wade. He just so many things that he's been cut down for, both by his colleagues and by fans. But so, you know, it felt like we had just been asking for the day. We've been just waiting for the day that nigga did something stupid. You know, he shot his shot at Rachel Nichols or something else that would get him fired from ESPN. And our prayers were answered. Our prayers were answered this past weekend, because, you know, Paul Pierce, as our boy Trilly said, Paul Pierce went out like Slurms McKenzie.
Your boy did it all for IG.
For the clout.
Downfall we've seen many a artist and polished personality recently.
I first want to say that I assume that's the first time he's ever been on IG Live. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
It's gotta be. He's as we've seen from his Twitter, he's not the most savviest technological person we have out there.
Man, he uploaded that picture of that rocket. That was the wildest shit I ever seen.
Nigga took a picture of an emoji. And that's the type of just dumb shit that makes me mad about Paul Pierce, man.
For the uninitiated, Paul Pierce had himself a fun weekend. I don't know if it was a bachelor party or whatever the situation was, but that man decided, you know, with a bunch of strippers, you know, in the background, you know, smoking blunts and whatnot, that he was going to hop on IG Live, you know, tell the whole city of LA to come through, act like he was doing big business, in the exact same way that you would expect a 46-year-old man to do. And it was the lamest shit that I've ever seen in my life. I was at my brother's house this weekend, and I showed it to him. And my brother's 40, just like Maul. You know, we was talking about it, and my brother was like, "Hey, man, listen, if I ever do anything that fucking lame, like, kill me, like, because obviously I'm too far gone. Like, it's like getting bit by a zombie. Like, once you go to that point, there's no coming back. You just gotta fucking kill me. Don't ever let me get to that point of fucking whackness." You said what?
Go ahead.
No, and that's exactly what it was, bro. Like, because you could see he wasn't doing that shit because he was having a good time. This 46-year-old 100 millionaire was looking for clout. And we talk about the clout demons. We talk about the clout monster all the time. But I don't think we've ever seen a nigga that old, that thirsty for acceptance from people that never even saw him win a championship. From people who have no idea what it is. Also, his haircut's fucking whack.
I disagree. Ooh. I gained a smidgen of respect for that nigga Paul Pierce. For him to be living his best life and decide to share it with the world in a way he probably thought he was on FaceTime. I don't know. No, he did. He was shouting out people, so I guess he knew he was on IG. Fuck it, man. If that's how you live and that's how you get down, nigga, let the world know how you live and how you get down, nigga. If you got the strippers, if you have the dancers at your establishment, you playing cards, you smoking blunts, you with the homies, man, fuck it. Live it up, Paul. I wasn't as taken aback by the displays of what was shown.
It was just corny, and bro.
I was like, hey, you know what, Paul? I almost said, hey, Paul, you all right? But Paul, you not all right, nigga. Like, I'll still fade you if I see you. Corny, bro. But, like,
because I,
it's for, not like, for if me, I was going to punch you in your face twice, now I'm going to punch you in your face, like, once in a mush. You know what I mean?
Because for me, bro, it's like, okay, how many times, Paul Pierce, in your life, in your adult life, even in your ESPN life, have you been in a room with strippers and bottles and blunts? And why did you choose now to broadcast that shit on IG Live? What else could you want but clout, Wes?
He don't want clout. He's probably I'm sure his mentions of Dale just full of slander and shit all the fucking time. He's not looking for clout. He just was letting niggas know how he lived. Maybe I'm saying, like, remember how he did get stabbed up a million times in the city that he played in. So maybe he hasn't gone out since then. You know what I'm saying? What if this was the grand return of Paulie P to the people, to the streets, you feel me? He's at home. He's in LA. He's living. They lifting sanctions and shit. It's Texas. I'm saying it's millions of people at baseball games and shit. But yeah. No, he's living. He's living his life, and he just said, "Fuck it." I can't wait till one of these days. Once Joe Biden puts the fourth stimmy out, and I'm letting y'all look.
No, Joe Button is putting the fourth stimmy out. Clearly,
Joe Button. Reminds you, Joe Button is older than Maul. Maul is 40. Remember. Wild. I didn't hate this from Paul. And the only thing I dislike is that Disney is clearly anti-worker during a pandemic, which is fucking sickening.
Oh man. Just as you stated, Disney made the swift move to cut ties with Paul Pierce. And the funny thing is, you know, obviously, like, that man's got a wife and kids, you know, so we not I would never root for anybody to lose their job unless you're talking about like a Ben Shapiro or Gina Carano or somebody like that. You know, but for me, bro, it was that response, man, was just so fucking corny. And it's so typical of people who, you know, quote unquote, fuck up. You know, it's the whole, oh, stay tuned. You know, I'm on to bigger and better things. I can't lose, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yes, nigga, you can lose. You got fired from ESPN. You lost. Okay? Like, that's it. You fucking lost. And I don't know, man. Like, it just, for me, this whole incident just reaffirms it's the same fucking trope and concept that we've been talking about. It seems like for the past 2-3 pods, old niggas being corny. As somebody who is on the precipice of being an old nigga, don't ever let me be that corny. Please, bruh. Like, hold my corniness accountable. Don't ever let me get there.
Nigga, you don't ask me to do that, because I'm going to be the corniest old nigga that's out there in these streets, nigga. I'm going to be out here doing it. I'm essentially going to be Paul Pierce, nigga, except the time where I get stabbed 11 times in my own city. I have to keep reiterating that, because that's just the wildest fact to me. But, like, yeah, through his response, Paul Pierce, like I said, he gained the smallest increment of my respect and then lost it all immediately. But that, oh, yeah, man, I can't lose, dog. I'm always going to win. No, nigga, relax. Yeah, there's literally I don't see any upside to this from you. I'm going to hate. I'm going to enjoy not seeing him on TV. Yeah. I'm going to hate when he eventually gets in the Hall of Fame. It's going to make me sick to my stomach.
Not Austin Cole's Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer.
Oh, boy, that boy got something wrong with that boy talking about Gonzaga like that. I almost had to stab him 11 times in his city. Let him know how much I dislike that take. But yeah, Paul. For me, it was a. It's like you're watching like just a horrible. It's like I don't have a comparison right now. Paul got my head fucked up. But it was a situation he brought completely on himself, and he had to deal with the consequences of it.
You know, Paul definitely. I will say he exhibited some bird-like behavior, that's for sure. But he is not the most famous nigga bird in the zeitgeist right now. That title belongs to Anthony Mackie, star of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that we have definitely been keeping tabs on.
I don't think that's not the title of it. It's one-armed nigga, broke nigga, and rich nigga.
Yeah, definitely, man. The dynamic is definitely very apparent between you know, old Buck, good old Strike 'em Vipers, and now add my nigga Baron Zemo into the mix, who really took this buddy cop series to the next level.
Oh man, it's great.
It's a really good show, man. And like, I before we get into our personal takes for it, I gotta give a quick shout out to the same folks, you know, who way back in 2018, I talked about. I don't know if you remember that Castle Black pod with them black folks talking about Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
They got another pod called Views from the 616. Where they talk about just everything Marvel related. And they put together, honestly, and I like their Castle Black Pod. I really enjoyed their Castle Black Pod. Really like their Lovecraft Country Pod. But this one, man, this one kind of takes it to another level. Shout out to Tatiana King and DJ Ben Amin, who both showed love to me on Twitter last week. You know, Black Podcast Solidarity. Appreciate that. But they really, man, you talk about, like, you take something as popular as the Marvel, you know, the MCU, and I feel like the black perspective can very easily be lost because it's just so popular and literally everybody on the world is watching it. But man, they take the MCU and they just break it down and analyze it from the black perspective so fucking eloquently, man. It almost feels like the epitome of what we try to do here when it comes to that pop culture zeitgeist. And they do their research. They're very well knowledged in, you know, all Marvel things, comic books, MCU, everything like that. And they really like deconstruct it for us. So for, you know, black comic book fans or black MCU fans or whatever, they kind of feels like a almost like a lost tribe or like very kind of a, like a niche audience. They make that pod for us. So shout out to both of them, man. Check it out. Views from the 616. You check that out, you know, anywhere where you find your podcast. So much love to them.
I don't remember getting a, check from them, but nah, shout out to them, man. Anytime you got a black podcast doing anything, nah, definitely salute, especially on something as vast and as unexplored as kind of the black perspective on Marvel shit.
Yeah, shout man. And they've, and you know, they have, I feel like on this show more than anything, obviously WandaVision, like, you know, you got a... the one and only Tiana Paris, and obviously, you know, they kind of broke down some different, yes, sir. They obviously broke down a lot of different things from her perspective, but this is, that wasn't a show that centered on blackness, and Falcon and Winter Soldier is a show that really does center on blackness. Like, it's, I feel like it can kind of be lost in that 80s action film buddy cop, you know, dynamic. You can really kind of lose it in there, but we have been reminded at every turn in these first, well, it's only been three episodes, Sam, you are black. You are a nigga and you are nothing else.
He is something more than a nigga. He's a broke nigga. But lest we not forget, his bands are not up. He's stimulus.
So, I mean, we have, I really feel like it was really, when we talked about it, it was going to be really hard to follow up something as fire as WandaVision, but they have really, it's so different and it has such a different take, more of a traditional MCU take, and we are, I think, three episodes into the sixth episode run, and it gets better and better every week. But for me, man, I really appreciate Falcon and Winter Soldier because it gets into things that we talk about very often on this pod but sometimes get missed or overlooked in, you know, the kind of mainstream continuity. Things like, obviously, blackness. We've never really had a show that inherently discussed blackness or a show or a movie within the MCU that kind of inherently got into those things and those themes. You know, for Sam, you know, you're talking about a nigga who's an Avenger. You're talking about a nigga that's literally saved the world. You're talking about a nigga that got blipped away. Then he come home, realized that he in a 360 deal.
he's total. We got the black guy who they were experimenting with, super soldier,
the black super soldier,
got locked up,
which I feel is one of the coolest fucking stories and the coolest fucking real world parallels that the MCU has told, because, man, it seemed sound a lot like the Tuskegee experiments, don't it, my nigga? You got a bunch of soldiers who were experimenting on against their will. If you have any background in the comic book series in which that storyline was told, I think like 98% of the people that were experimenting on died. And Isaiah Bradley, who was the character, was one of the few that actually did survive. And, you know, we get into the show and we talk about how he was like, yeah, as soon as Bucky walked in, he was like, yeah, I whooped your ass back in 48, bitch ass nigga.
Yeah, nigga, beat your ass. It was me and Elgin Baylor, nigga. He was over there talking around himself. Nigga, he was on your head, pussy.
R.I.P. Elgin Baylor.
You and Hondo. Yeah, R.I.P.
But it told a wonderful dynamic because it talked about how, you know, that man Isaiah Bradley, he was literally, you know, outside of Cap, one of the only two or three other super soldiers, and, you know, he beat Bucky's ass and saved the world and everything else, and he came home and got locked up. You know, just like so many other, you know, black men that defended this fucking country, you know, in world wars, came home, got locked up, still got treated like a second or even third class citizen. And he suffered a ton of PTSD from that. You know, the super soldier serum warped his brain. He's not the same. And that's a story that I think that, you know, obviously anybody with any, you know, recollection of black history can definitely relate to. And actually, that Views from the 616 podcast talked about how his grandson, the one that answered the door, he is supposed to be one of the young Avengers, along with you know, Hawkeye's daughter and Ant-Man's daughter and all of them. So so hopefully,
I did some research. I peeked around that
research. So, Wes doing research. Excuse me?
You know what I'm saying? Anytime I see niggas doing nigga things, you know what I'm saying? I got to do more research on nigga shit.
So definitely looking forward to that, and hopefully we can get more of Isaiah Bradley's story told, because it is honestly one of, again, I think one of the realest and kind of most one of the realest and most you know, gravity inducing things that Marvel has done. So you know, so hopefully that story gets told in its totality. But you know, even expanding from that, you know, now I will say that next scene where Sam stepped outside and the police officer walked up, is this man bothering you, sir? That was a little heavy handed, just a little bit. Like, okay, we get what y'all niggas trying to do. It and the showrunner has said explicitly, like, we are not going to run away from Sam's blackness. Like, this is not something that we are looking to gloss over. Because that's really, it's the entire center of the show. You know, Sam is kind of placed, you know, Steve, after he selfishly decides to fuck up the timeline. And you know, just comes back 80 years later like, hey, bro, here you go. You're Captain America now. You're now America's ass. And it's,
yeah, here's this shield. I got to go back to fuck with my homies on Jim Crow.
And it's like, he didn't ask for that responsibility. Just like so many other black people have been, you know, tasked with saving the world or doing these extraordinary things without really wanting it, without having the same autonomy that a Captain America, a Bucky, or a fucking John Walker has, bitch ass nigga.
Yeah, I don't like him or his black side.
Yeah, Lamar.
I knew it was some black ass name. Yeah, Latavius.
So, and Sam has struggled with that. And that's another big theme. You know, you talk about, you know, blackness, trauma as well. Don't nobody got more trauma than good old Buck. So, you know, so we have seen their different responses to trauma and PTSD and, you know, responsibility, black responsibility, identity, you know, trying to now also navigate a post blip world, and trying to see, you know, kind of where they fit into this whole dynamic in a world without, Steve Rogers. And I just feel like with this show, I think WandaVision was so like far out in left field that a lot of these things, a lot of the cleanup, you know, from Endgame and whatnot, was kind of not ignored, but like it felt like a very self-contained narrative. And now getting into this show, now we need to start understanding like what's the true ramifications of everything that's happened. And I feel like they have really done a great job of not just expressing that from like an individual level, but also on a community level and a societal level. So I'm really excited to see where this shit goes, man. It far exceeded all my expectations.
Yeah, so initially when kind of after Endgame, when they were announcing kind of what this phase of TV shows on Disney Plus would be, I had no real intentions. I really didn't care for WandaVision when I heard about it. I didn't necessarily care about this when I heard about it. But like WandaVision completely shocked me, was super duper dope. And this so far has been just as good.
Yeah.
There's a lot more action, like I said, touching on a lot more kind of real world things. But it's super interesting. It's pretty fresh, mm-hmm. And like I said, from here till the end, it got me hooked, and I'm interested to see kind of where they go and kind of how everything kind of comes and ties in, and kind of how it sets up for whatever's coming next.
Yeah, man. Because I definitely like also got to say, like, in terms of like Sam and Bucky as individual characters, I didn't particularly care about either of them. I definitely didn't care about Sam. I didn't have a reason to. And Bucky, even though we had an entire movie about him in, you know, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and, you know, Civil War, you know, also Bucky was at the center of, I think I cared more as it pertained to Cap or pertained to the Avengers as a whole, than I did about Bucky in particular, the White Wolf, Bucky Barnes. But like, I've really appreciated, you know, getting to know these characters and getting to know, like what their individual motivations are, what their aspirations are. I think, you know, the biggest line of the whole show so far is, you know, Sam kind of saying like, blah, 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 you know, maybe, maybe Steve was wrong about this. You know, maybe I don't think he should have given me the shield, blah, blah, blah. And then Bucky coming back and saying, no, he can't be wrong. Because if he was wrong about you, then he's wrong about me too. And that's real. That's real as fuck. Yeah. Because Steve Rogers was always this, you know, this idealistic, well, as we've already established, asshole. But very idealistic and very, very much so believed in the redemption of everybody, especially his gay lover, Bucky Barnes. And Nick, listen, no cap, bro. Like, we are the most inclusive, diverse podcast on planet Earth. And I really, really think them niggas was gay lovers on everything.
You brought this point up before, and we've tried to tell you no. You know what I'm saying? It's a different time. Like,
am I pushing the gay agenda like Lil Nas X?
I didn't want to say it, but me and Dr. Umar and the new nigga, Hassan something, we're all sitting
there looking at you with that. Oh, there's a new woke nigga I'm not hip to?
You got to get hip, my nigga. We'll talk about it off air. I don't want to give this nigga no shine right now. But yeah, we up. We got some topics coming up in the future. But nah, man, that's like your best friend. I'm saying y'all niggas is cool and shit from the neighborhood. Y'all niggas went to war and shit. You thought Boy died, and then you end up defeating Hitler.
Wouldn't go to war for none of y'all niggas.
I understand. Like, his feelings are very mutual. Word of Jody Breeze. But they're not gay lovers. They're just homies from the an older time. Mm. You feel me? They're not showing up to the cookout and saying, "Oh, this is Uncle Bucky and his friend Steve." Not that scenario.
Shit. But you know, regardless of that, man. You know, Steve was very, very big into the concept of redemption and, you know, inspiration. And he was an idol. He was a symbol. Bucky and Sam very much see him as a symbol, and they are trying to carry on his legacy in different ways. And also in a different way is fuck-ass John Walker. And if you have any knowledge of the comic books, John Walker is a big-ass fuckboy. Now, also not somebody who's inherently evil, more of an anti-hero, but he's a big clout chaser. And he's somebody who also was kind of placed in a role that he didn't necessarily ask for. And he's trying to figure out how to navigate that, but he's just doing it in a very bitch-ass manner. While bringing his sidekick Lamar with him at the same time,
yes, so that's kind of I'm glad we could kind of see like he was a little bit reluctant to take this shit, but then he got Daytwan with him, so they're all trying to figure out what's going on. And then we got to see Hubert Davis's wife in the last episode. It was good to see her after she had not been in any movies since I think Civil War. Yeah.
So Sharon Carter, not Hubert Davis's wife.
Sharon Davis, you
said. I'm a fan of Sharon Carter. I like her character. We have not seen her since I think Cap busted her down Raw and then just kind of forgot about her. Is that what happened?
I don't think they smashed because remember Cap was smashing her aunt.
No, he didn't. No. He didn't. I mean, at that point, he didn't smash her because she was like 80 something. She was dying. But they had a.
We went back.
They had a thing. They had a thing in Winter Soldier, I believe. I think they was fucking.
I don't know if they was fucking, but they like because she lived in the same neighborhood, but she was like I had kept an eye on
her. Right.
Anyway, I think last time we saw her, I remember it was Civil War because she helped.
She helped him get his shield back. And
shit. Yeah.
And then everybody had to go out on the fucking run. I will say though, this episode in particular, episode 3, I really, really liked maybe my favorite episode to this point. Cause like I said, Baron Zemo adds, you know, that kind of reluctant ally dynamic to the buddy cop thing. But also, this felt a lot like Rush Hour, particularly Rush Hour 2. And I loved it. Like, I feel like they played that dynamic really, really, really well.
Hey, man, you never touch an evil nigga stereo. No, but it was good to see. That was like, as I said, they had a good dynamic of kind of them saying, oh, you were once an enemy. now we have to kind of work together to kind of accomplish a similar goal.
Yeah.
A story that's been told a million times, but it's good to see it kind of in this aspect, especially kind of, like you said, we haven't seen Sharon Carter in a while. We haven't seen Zemo in a few movies.
This nigga, I think Zemo has got like one of the most interesting character arcs, because Civil War was wild. Civil War was wild in a way that this nigga literally turned the world upside down just to make the Avengers fucking hate each other. And it worked. And we ain't seen the nigga since.
Yeah, nigga did all that shit. And T'Challa locked him up, which is very little. He's been his child's a cop, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, like his whole story is super duper fire. And then, like you said, he turned the Avengers upside down, kind of fractured the group. Almost irreputably.
Yeah, irreparably. Yeah, and pretty much.
Now he's finally just kind of coming back in his low-key role. But I see big things for Zemo moving forward.
Yeah, man. Yeah, shout out to Zemo. He is, I mean, we talk all the time about Marvel villains having like that, those extra layers of depth that kind of make you be like, yeah, you know what? I see where you coming from, nigga. And Zemo is another one. Just like Thanos, just like, you know, Killmonger. Yeah, it's just like, hey, nigga, I see your point. I ain't gonna say I'm with you, but I definitely see where you're coming from.
I'm gonna say I'm with you. I'm rocking with all these villains that have made sense to me. I am Team Zemo.
So we'll see. And you know, at the end of this last episode, we got Wakanda back in this bitch. Showtime. Bucky's little ting ting popped up on him. So yeah, we gonna see how that shit go. Definitely, but I'm fully invested in, and to think as soon as we get done with this shit, we hopping straight into Loki, which is the one that I've been waiting on.
Yeah, that's the one out of all the ones that were announced. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna end up watching Loki because I fuck with Loki, even though he's dead.
Yeah, it's not the same Loki, but we got Owen Wilson though, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. Why not? Yeah. No, it's gonna be fire. If anything I've learned now from Marvel and their TV shows, it's gonna be fire.
Definitely gonna be fire. So so shout out to Falcon and Winter Soldier. Make sure y'all check that out, and make sure y'all check out that Views from the 616 pod as well, which gives you basically the breakdown of all this shit. Falcon and Winter Soldier, we've had the privilege of seeing we had the privilege of seeing some elite fights, honestly. You know, from episode one, the action has been nonstop, you know. So for any action that was missing from WandaVision, they've made up for that shit twofold with Falcon and Winter Soldier. And another bit of media in which the action did not lack at all was Jibs versus King Kong, or Jibs versus Godzilla. Excuse me.
I couldn't think of somebody who had a Godzilla reference quick enough. I apologize. But yes, Godzilla Kong dropped this past week, and it was both incredible and fucking garbage at the same damn time.
We were very excited, and a lot, it wasn't just us. Like, for some reason, I don't remember it being like even a fraction of this much excitement for the solo Kong movie or the solo Godzilla movies. But this one just felt like, I don't know, maybe it felt like
pandemic.
Yeah.
Pandemic.
Yeah.
It's like the first huge action kind of blockbuster.
And that bitch did numbers.
Cause niggas is bored, and you got the option to actually watch it at the crib instead of risk your health
going to see it in the theater. Bitch did $285 million in theaters worldwide.
I didn't know it did numbers like that. I thought it'd be more skewed to HBO Max, but that's crazy.
Nah, bro. And I mean, this was one of them ones. Like, again, we've had some big movies. You know, we had the Snyder Cut, which we didn't really talk about, but just know that it was a lot better than the original. We'll just leave it at that. We had the Snyder Cut. We've had Wonder Woman. We've had Judas and the Black Messiah. We've had that... The Little Things. We've had plenty of movies drop, I would say, in the last 5 months or so. But this was the one that I really feel like put the excitement back in cinema. And not because of any cohesive narrative or anything like that. Just because it was two big-ass motherfuckers scrapping.
Yeah, man, this is two legends that everybody has grown up knowing. You know, everybody knows about Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows about King Kong.
Yes, sir.
And everybody knows them niggas had to clash. You know what I'm saying? This is goddamn, this is hopefully Bud Crawford and Errol Spence. This is what that is.
Bud has to go through Manny Pacquiao first. What are you talking about?
Oh, I guess is damn. So fucking Bud is Godzilla. Then who the hell is Mecha Godzilla?
I don't know.
Tyson Fury. We're doing all types of weight class. No, I'm playing. But, this was like I said. This is an anticipated fight in action type movie in these two genres and shit. And this was one of the bigger movies to be announced. So of course the spotlight was on.
Yeah, man. You know, this is one of them ones that, like, we, you know, I think as a kid, you always thought, I wonder who would win between Kong and Godzilla. Like, just, you know, just one of them random hypotheticals that you throw out at the lunch table after you get done making your grinding beats. And I feel like this was the climax of the MonsterVerse, and we at this time we don't know if we're gonna get any more MonsterVerse movies, but due to the success of the movie even during the pandemic, I would assume so. Either way, they built to this, and I think anytime you have any type of shared cinematic universe, it's all about the build. That's exactly where, you know, DC fucked up with their original Justice League film, was, you know, you trying to tell this big story about, you know, Superman and Batman and Flash and Cyborg and Wonder Woman. But within that, you're trying to tell three origin stories and the plot of the movie itself, including the resurrection of fucking Superman, all in 2 hours. And that's wild as fuck. Like, wild as fuck. If you gonna build, like, you know, Marvel's always a blueprint, but if you gonna do a universe, you gotta let that bitch breathe. You got to give it some years, mm-hmm. You got to give it some time, and you got to give it at minimum 3-4 movies before you really want to get it, you know, start digging into the meat of shit. And that's what they did. They stayed patient because, you know, I think the first Godzilla did really well. I think Kong did really well, but Godzilla Rise of the or King of Monsters was well below expectations. So they stayed the course. You feel me? They trusted the process. And then we got to the point where we got this Titanic clash, and it did not disappoint. The fight scenes, fire. Even though Kong and Godzilla did not fight all that much, when they did fight, it felt like something special. It felt like, nigga, 1997 Tyson and Evander Holyfield.
No, it was super dope, and like you could kind of feel when like the fight's about to start, you kind of got that little nervous thing, like, oh shit, this is about to happen. Like the first time they end up fighting, I was like, oh shit, it's about to go down.
Yes, sir.
And then later on when they fought, and those were clearly the high points of the movie. I think
there was a movie.
This wasn't a 20-minute YouTube
okay.
fight compilation.
Okay.
Shout out to Kimbo Slice and him, but that's where I think it's like, yo, y'all was just trying to do too much. Like, people just want to see these two titans fight. I understand that you have to try to put together some type of movie behind it, some type of plot and shit. Mm-hmm. But, nigga, we just want the fight.
That's it. We just want the smoke. Like, nigga, we are, again, like you said, we are a generation that grew up watching Kimbo Slice YouTube compilations. That's all we want. And actually, the director said if he could have it the way that he wants it, if they do have another movie, he would like to have even less human storyline than we had in this one. So,
I figured it out. We get old boy who directed the Battle at Winterfell.
Miguel Saperstein.
Yes, he'll get some money from daddy. make this
money, please. So
we'll link Miguel, the nigga Miguel, and whoever directed this. I guess we can bring back my little shorty, little deaf shorty. She was so cool. I liked her a lot.
I really liked her character too. She was dope.
Yeah, we can leave Paperboy out. If I wanted the Paperboy to shine.
I mean, I enjoyed what they gave him, but they didn't give him a lot.
It was, Yeah, so he did a good job with kind of what it was. But
yeah, you can get Millie, King of R&B, the fuck out of here. She was useless.
Yeah, well, let's just get into why right now. Yeah, the just the non-fighting scenes were just all unnecessary. We had Millie Bobby Brown and my nigga from Deadpool 2 listening to Brian podcast, or Brian, excuse me, that's his real name. Mm-hmm. Listen to Paperboy's podcast, yes, and they all chasing down shit. Fuck them niggas.
I still don't know what she was trying to do. So what was Millie Bobby Brown's hope in going to Ground Zero? What was she trying to do?
Be in the mix.
Okay. All right.
Trying to be mixy.
Because I at least understood what old girl and Def Shorty was trying to do with Kong. But I never really got a real like concept of, okay, Millie Bobby Brown, what is your purpose? What are you and fucking Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights trying to do here?
Yeah, like she, Millie played a big role in, King of Monsters. Godzilla King of Monsters. She was like one of the main characters in that. But like this movie, she's like, all right, let me go find Paperboy, and we're gonna go to Hong Kong.
Yeah, that was it.
We're gonna get lucky and help get the winner, who will, I don't know if we'll announce, but get help them get the win. Like, it was completely unnecessary. The whole Hollow Earth storyline, yeah, could have done without it.
I didn't. It didn't make a ton of sense. Like, I mean, from a like a like I said, I feel like they put a lot more time into the Kong storyline. At least the Kong storyline, it wasn't good, but it made sense. The Godzilla storyline made zero sense to me.
In just this movie or throughout?
No. In just this movie.
Okay. Yeah. Even like, there's no need for Hollow Earth's not real, nigga. That's lava. We know that,
man. It's a lot of Kyrie Irving motherfuckers that think Hollow Earth's a real thing. Just saying.
We ain't got time for this with these niggas.
Just saying.
But nah. But yeah. Outside of the fighting shit was stupid, but we did get to have two huge battles. And then one battle with the even bigger nigga, mm-hmm, that lived up to the hype.
I think the fights were exceptionally planned. Kong, boy, I don't know about your nigga Kong, man. He a real nigga, but he ain't got hands all like that, dog.
What you talking about? Kong got hands like that, but first time he caught an away game. You know what I'm saying? Nigga had a the Michael Jordan ordered pizza to the hotel. The pizza got poisoned. It was calling his room number all night, and saying the phone was ringing and shit. It was a bad bus ride over to the stadium. And you know, saying niggas lose weight games all the time.
Listen to that Kenny Lattimore album. Yeah,
that's exactly what. So you know what happened. So I'm saying, so he caught Godzilla at home. I'm saying Godzilla had a little lucky. He got the home crowd behind him. You feel me? Refs were calling some questionable calls. But then he came to Zilla's home turf, and it was a little bit more even fight. Godzilla's still cheating a little bit, and I'm saying I would say he's clearly on performance enhancing drugs. That's very clear. But Kong gave it his all. You feel me?
He did. Nah, Kong is by far the realest one. We talked about in the group chat as we were watching the movie that these motherfuckers is trying to make me Team Kong, and they didn't turn me, but they turned you, because you are obviously disloyal and your love can be bought.
That's implying that I was fucking with Team Godzilla just off the rip.
You was fucking with Team Godzilla off the rip.
I was very neutral in this.
Okay.
I wanted to see Wreck, but then the little deaf girl was talking to Godzilla, and I was like,
yeah. But I also will say, though, that Godzilla caught that work from Mechagodzilla, though.
That is ass. Well, first off, I hate to say it, but my nigga Kong was down. That nigga died, essentially.
Yeah.
This nigga had to get a Duke Deuce back to life.
Yeah, man. Kong was done, bruh. Kong was done.
So nigga Zilla whipped Kong,
yep,
to the point of Kong damn near dying.
Yeah.
And then Mechagodzilla was whooping the shit out of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Until the Deadpool nigga was like, you know what would help our heroes win?
Yeah.
some goddamn Jack Daniels.
Yep.
Let me pour some fucking Jack Daniels on the computer board.
That was the climax of the film.
This super, super technologically advanced keyboard that controls a million-foot Godzilla. Let me go ahead and pour a little bit of this dirty.
That's it.
In the vents that's going to shut the computer down.
I will always choose the dirty over you. Always. Forever. That was the climax of the film. It was also the only thing that they did. Like, they did all this shit. They broke into the fucking S.H.I.E.L.D. Hydra complex. They stole away inside of whatever the fuck they were inside of. They almost got caught. They do all this random shit. And that's the only thing they did the whole movie. That was it.
Stupid. Just stupid.
The obligatory South Asian Pacific Islander sidekick, just like Tom Holland's in Spider-Man. He came through, saved the day, and yeah, man, that was pretty much it. And
that was
that. Yeah, and Mechagodzilla died, and then Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights and Millie Bobby Brown reunited, and then Kong screamed, and that was the end of the movie.
You forgot the very last scene where Kong and Godzilla linked arms like Arnold and Carl Weathers in Rocky. You had your classic black hand, white hand handshake.
Yeah.
And fade to black.
Yep, and that was it. So
they should have added in the typical black endings.
Hopeful. Yes, I am.
Godzilla swam off in the sea, never was seen again. Kong continued his love for white women, much like Hubert Davis.
Come on, man, damn. So
on his head, I don't know why I'm on his head like
that. It was both the. You know, as I sat there and enjoyed my Bloomin' Onion and watched it, it was both the worst and the best thing that I ever saw. But it completely lived up to my expectations. So, you know, hopefully we'll get another one. You know, again, hopefully they'll be fighting Blackzilla. Kong and Godzilla versus Blackzilla would be pretty fucking lit.
And this one-eyed monster.
That brings us to another topic. You know, Godzilla and King Kong are two of the most iconic monsters, fictional.
That's a wrong shit, maybe.
Animals that we've ever seen. Oh, also, side note, RIP to Hong Kong. This is what nobody wants to talk about. Hong Kong is done. That's it.
Yeah, they got fucked up.
No
reason too. That's crazy.
Yeah, no reason at all. So you know, our top five of the week. This week, we are going to discuss our top five favorite fictional creatures. From all areas of entertainment or whatever the fuck else. Wes, would you like to start?
I guess this was kind of hard because I started out trying to do fictional creatures, much like Godzilla and Kong, and then I ran into some TV characters I fuck with, and I ran into some cartoons I fuck with. So my list is fucking all over the place.
Hey man, all right, there you go. Would you like to go back and forth or all at once?
We can go back and forth.
Okay. All right.
Let's go back and forth. So my fifth one, for to start off. The fifth one is Flipper. You call him Flipper.
I call him James the nigga hating dolphin.
James the nigga hating dolphin. No. Of course, you know what I'm saying? He's a dolphin. He's not. He didn't make my list, but I can't start any list.
I can't breathe
without.
All right.
He didn't make my list, but I can't have any list of animals with not having James the nigga hating dolphin somewhat incorporated. I used to throw bleach in the pool. And that nigga Ren 10-10.
Man, listen, I talked about it in the chat the other day. Every Chappelle Show skit is either legendary or underrated. There's no in between. That's another underrated one.
That's all hits, man. Mr. Ed. But yes, James Nigga Hate Dolphin. He's in my honorable mentions. My number five is not actually a fictional character. It's a mascot.
Okay.
It's the Phoenix Suns gorilla.
Ah.
That's a wild nigga.
Yeah.
Jumping on trampolines, dunking, coming down from the ceiling.
Yep.
Just having a random gorilla for a team that's named the Suns.
Yeah, pretty wild.
Don't make a lot of sense, but that nigga's he'd be wildin'. So
I'd say so.
Number five is the Phoenix Suns gorilla.
That's a very good start. I actually have a few honorable mentions before I get into my top five.
Why don't you name all my honorable mentions, goddammit?
My first honorable mention, Sully and Mike Wazowski, from Monsters Inc.
Are they animals?
There's something close to it. So
animal adjacent, I guess.
Yeah, they're definitely animal adjacent. Shout out to them, man. Monsters Inc., one of the best Disney Pixar films. You know, good old John Goodman and I don't know who played Mike Wazowski? Billy Crystal?
I think it was Billy Crystal.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely did they goddamn Thug Thizzle. Not number four, but my other honorable mention, I couldn't choose between them three. So I kind of just put a trio of Harry Potter things, Dobby, Bugbeak, and Hedwig, all fire in different ways.
Okay. Yeah, Hedwig did make my honorable mention list. Yep. Shout out to Hedwig.
And then also...
And Dobby's like a nigga. He's an elf, but he's a nigga. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no goddamn
animal. He's still a real one, all right?
Nigga wears clothes. Nigga got a
suit. And my final honorable mention, definitely got to go to the one, the only... the most loyal dog in the whole pack. My nigga Ghost. Shout out to Ghost, man.
Oh, shit. I thought you was going to say my nigga Scoob.
Ghost will fuck Scoob up.
What? Scoob be talking. Scoob be smoking weed. Ghost just be around.
Shout out to Ghost for somehow surviving the Battle of the Bastards. Somehow surviving the Battle of Winterfell. The Battle of King's Landing. And actually making it to the fucking end.
This is a his Ghost running from the grind. Is he hiding when the battle's popping off?
So I'm wondering. Ghost is the only I think Nymeria made it, but we don't know where the fuck she at. So
oh yeah, she ran away. She's off in the woods.
Yeah, so shout out to the Dire Wolves. We definitely didn't see a Ghost's head on top of Jon Snow's body. So
they did Robb Stark. Man, you want to know how hard I was laughing when they had Wolfhead riding around?
Oh, man.
They did him like, whatchamacallit? We got your leader. That's crazy. Man, Game of Thrones biting Chappelle.
They told them niggas they need to learn to cook cocaine with baking soda.
Lady Catelyn.
But for real, my number five, bro, Garfield, man. Garfield the cat.
Nah, Garfield a real
nigga. Garfield literally was the worst person ever. That nigga talk mad shit. He ain't do nothing but antagonize old boy and the dog.
John and Odie.
Yeah, yep, John and Odie. Didn't give a fuck about nobody, selfish as shit. He was a fat fuck. He ate lasagna all fucking day. Literally contributed nothing to society, but still got everything that he wanted. Shout out to Garfield.
John cooking lasagna for a cat is insanity. That's wild. That's really fucking wild. Yep. So who's my five? Phoenix Suns gorilla. Quick shout out to I also had honorable mention Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
The one and only, yes sir.
Nigga trying to take over the world. Oh, that's all he wanted. Nigga was just world domination. Salute him.
Mm-hmm.
My number four is Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yes sir.
Clifford, as his name states, is just a big ass red dog. You know what I'm saying? Sue Piru brimmed out. Yes sir. Fucking with the kids, you know what I'm saying? Helping kids with shit, but he's a big ass dog. And if shit gets left, Clifford's like, I think I read he was 25 feet long.
Yeah.
Clifford will fuck some shit up if it came down to it. So yeah. Salute to Clifford. Shout out to the Blifford.
Shout out to Clifford, man. Yeah, Clifford. Big Beast. Yeah, that's a nigga you ain't trying to fuck with for real. Number four for me, I have Patrick Starr. Patrick, man, I thought about all the SpongeBob characters for a minute, but you know, honestly, you want to talk about the most iconic? It's Patrick. It's Pat back. to keep it a G. And like, I don't know, man, Patrick has probably given me as many like hearty belly laughs as any other cartoon character in my life. That nigga is so stupid, but stupid in a way that like he's so dumb that his idiocracy still manages to catch you off guard. Like, you know, with some people, you'd be like, oh, ha-ha, okay, somebody's about to give me a fart joke. You know what I'm saying? Patrick comes with different levels of stupidness all the time, to the point where, like, you never really get used to it. He's still reinventing his dumbness. And
Pat is a legend. Yeah, for a show where he's just the sidekick, yep. He's that nigga. Yep. Salute to Patrick. Unfortunately, no one from SpongeBob made my list, but SpongeBob is its own thing.
Yes, sir.
So my number three is Drogon.
You Dragon bitch. That's my number three.
Okay. I figured we have a little bit of overlap.
Yeah.
But Drogon's that nigga. You know what I'm saying? What did I watch? Something prompted me to look at Game of Thrones on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And that led me down to watch like a compilation of every time that Daenerys had said Dracarys and had one of her dragons burn some shit.
Mm-hmm.
So Drogon was her little nigga, you know, feel me? She gave birth to that nigga.
And he survived. Him
and his brothers.
I still really hate how they did Rhaegal, bruh. Like,
was he was the second one.
Yeah.
Not the first one to die.
He was the second one.
Okay, he was with when they they didn't see all them fucking boats.
Man, I told you, bro, when they broke that shit down and was like, nigga, how could they not see all them fucking bolts from that angle? How the hell did the scorpion shoot that bitch that high in the air to give that nigga three critical wounds? Why didn't they avert course after he got hit the first time? Like, come on, man.
That shit, man, ain't you a Qyburn fan, ain't that shit, boy?
Excuse me?
You was a Qyburn.
You mean Prime Minister Qyburn? Is that?
Oh, here we go. He is a prime minister. Salute to him, running the country of England. But yeah, fuck the Nick Qyburn and his scorpion. So we did similar to number three. So like I said, my number two.
Yep.
My number two fictional animal of all time is Perry the Platypus.
Got to.
Yeah. Perry is a quiet, non-distinct platypus. Mm-hmm. Just around Phineas and Ferb while they do their adventures and whatnot. Yep. But then when that nigga
Doofenshmirtz
gets to doing his evil mm-hmm. plans and shit, scheming and whatnot, Perry got to jump up, put on his
fedora.
I don't know what kind of. Put on his fedora. Put on his future hat, and go on and stop Doofenshmirtz from doing some bullshit and save the world, and then come back and just be a little meh. Little platypus kicking his shit. Perry saves the world on a regular basis. He got to be number two on my list.
Tremendous character. In a similar vein, if you want to kick it real old school, a similar vein of my nigga Secret Squirrel, or the monkey. What was the monkey from Dexter's Lab?
I think it might have just been the monkey.
Yeah. Either way, the monkey had a baddie. If you remember that shit, he had a little white chick.
You are right. God damn. Shout out to Dexter, man. Well, shout out to the mayor's assistant.
He was, yeah, she had that nigga wrapped around his finger.
Dexter's mama, too.
Yeah. Come on, man.
They're getting racial tensions. God damn. But yes, Perry the Platypus has got to be number two.
Yeah, for sure. So my number two, you know, to take it in a different direction, my number two is, you know, a fictional creature that has that has caused havoc in not only our Earth, our realm, but other realms as well. It is a creature that we were warned about for years and years and years, but nobody wanted to, you know, kind of pay him his proper attention. You know, nobody wanted to take him seriously when we had the chance. So by the time niggas started paying attention, it was too late. So my number two is Man-Bear Pig.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Man-Bear Pig is a cold motherfucker.
Half man, half bear,
half pig, nigga. From when we first saw him all the way back in Imagination Land, when he was fucking niggas the fuck up, to when he finally came to the real world. Was it last season or two seasons ago? Whatever.
It might have been 2 seasons ago, but recently.
Yeah. Al Gore tried to tell us. I tried to show him. He tried to tell us. Niggas didn't listen. And my motherfucker was out on the loose. Man Bear Pig is a goddamn ox. That nigga is Derrick Henry in a cartoon.
He be putting numbers on the board. Half man, half bear, half pig, dog. It's crazy.
It's my number two.
Man Bear Pig is that nigga, and well deserving of a number two spot. So my number one, top fictional animal of all time, who a man who has commanded both mammal, all sorts of mammals.
Yeah.
If I don't want to say the exact one, that's going to give it away.
Yeah.
Learn to talk, both in words and in sign language.
Mm-hmm.
Was cool as shit with James Franco.
Mm-hmm.
Beast with Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Caesar from Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Caesar is that nigga.
Shout out to Big C's, man.
Man.
Yeah, seeing Caesar's progression between movies was really it was really nice. I really appreciated that.
Started out as just a regular ass monkey, you know what I'm saying? Kicking and shit, fucking monkey bitches, throwing his shit everywhere. Yep. Became a test subject, became a talking nigga.
Talking nigga.
I told a story on here where I was high off of redacted pills in the movie theater and yelled out when he spoke.
Yes.
So from there to progression to leading his ape niggas running up and down the hills and trolleys of San Francisco to taking over the world and essentially becoming the president
the goat.
Of monkey niggas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dealing with hating ass niggas like Cobra.
Fuck Cobra.
Eventually putting Cobra in a pack.
Yeah.
And smoking that Cobra pack eventually. Caesar, fucking with man. He led men. He led apes. Caesar's got to be the number one fictional animal of all time. That's my dog.
And I think that's very fitting. I almost don't know how I didn't think about Caesar, honestly. But very, very, very deserving of number one spot. My number one spot is going to go to another kind of hybrid, I guess, you know, somebody who can talk, somebody who has commanded respect and reverence all throughout the zeitgeist, someone, you know, who is both the best character and also one of the most awful people, animal things we've ever seen in our lives, the king of Hollywood, Bojack Horseman. Bojack Horseman is Don Draper in animal form. Will Arnett, absolutely, and we've seen Will Arnett in so many great roles, but I really think that that's going to be, you know, his kind of his magnum opus. Again, if you've never seen Bojack Horseman, I do not suggest that you watch it at all, unless you want to hate yourself. Bojack Horseman is an incredible show, but man, it is absolutely fucking gut-wrenching. In a way that, like, I don't know if any show has made me, like, reflect on myself and my toxicity in a way that Bojack Horseman has.
Especially being a cartoon, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
A cartoon that was kind of billed initially kind of as somewhat of a comedy.
Yeah.
And for it to
pass. Absolutely nothing comedic about it. Nothing.
Oh man. the paths and turns that we see Bojack take is, like you said, it's caused me to do a lot of self actualization and reflection. It's like, whoa. Yeah, so Bojack is goddamn.
Yeah, that's my number one, man. Bojack Horseman is my number one fictional creature of all time. And also, the show gave birth to, as we are just wrapping up, International Asexuality Day, the asexual goat, Todd Chavez.
Salute to Todd Chavez, you know what I'm saying? He's another dumb nigga, much like Pat.
Yeah.
But he be getting shit accomplished.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah.
Yo, my five is fucking your five. up.
In terms of what, nigga?
Everything, nigga.
Stop. Please.
Realist niggas, gang members. Yeah, if we had like just 5-on-5, whatever you want to do, my team is crushing your team.
Yeah, nah, fuck that.
Checking his feelings. man being picked in directions.
Fuck that, nigga. It is getting a little bit late. We have now, we didn't cross the midnight barrier, so we'll go ahead and wrap this shit up. I actually do not have a L of the Week this week, so I'm gonna lead out all to you, bruh. You have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. I also do not have an L. I was too focused on getting my five together. But let me do a quick peruse of the Twitter trending topics. And nothing. I ain't got nothing.
Okay.
But, we don't always need L's, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we just want to reflect on the good shit that's going on. Like our list, like we talked about. Everything we talked about, you feel me? So it's not, let's end it on a good note as opposed to kind of end it on a bad note of improvement. This was a good ass episode from us. We're saying you're hearing us more often than you ever have previously before. And that's just a good thing. So you're welcome, goddammit.
Yeah, pretty much, man. And you know, sometimes, you know, again, it'd be enough going on in the world, you know, and we don't need to, you know, add to that avalanche of shit, of negativity. Yeah, we have always said on this podcast that we're always going to speak on everything that needs to be spoken on. But at the same time, man, you know, we also, it's the entertainment too. And you know, it's, we are just so happens that this week we are fortunate enough that there are no, you know, super, you know, outrageously, you know, crazy serious topics that we need to get into. So, we gonna leave it at that, man. I hope y'all enjoyed this shit. I hope y'all continue to enjoy this shit if y'all been rocking with us. Follow us at Beware the L's, at Uptown Ace Boogie, at Ain't That Wiz. Please, again, continue. Subscribe, share, retweet, anything else that has to do with putting us out there. Put us in your OnlyFans bio. That might help as well. You know, you can kind of throw some clips on the pot of the pod at the end of your Booty Talk 8 burned DVDs. Just throw in a little 30-second clip of us. That'll help too. You know, whatever it takes. We still out here. We still making plays. We still building. We still growing. We appreciate all your fucking support. And I don't think I can talk anymore. I'm losing my faculty. So,
all right. Pray for Austin. He's back off that fence. No, have a good night, everybody. Peace.
Peace.